I went to the movies this morning.
Okay, what did you see?
Talking about that. A film called It Comes at Night.
Right. Or is it a horror?
It is.
I think, yeah, the name adjacent. Gives it, yes. Sorry?
It's horror adjacent.
Adjacent?
Well, it's horror-esque.
Oh,
the setup
okay.
is sort of horror. Right. The trailer certainly sells it as a horror, but it's actually it's written and directed by someone called Trey Edward Schultz.
Trey. Would have to be American.
definitely American. And so their marketing is a psychological horror, but it is, at its core, it's more of a drama, a human drama, really.
Okay.
And it's got our own Joel Edgerton in it. And so he stars and also produced it as well. So he obviously saw something special
okay.
in the script.
Yeah, I've been seeing. Gosh, he's becoming unbelievably busy boy, isn't he? And
yeah.
You know, like, and forging a career for himself overseas. He really is.
He has, and obviously he's sort of moved into the producing side yeah. of things as well, which, yeah. you know, we talk about a lot of people kind of creating their own jobs or creating their own pathways
yeah.
rather than just being completely dependent on the big names.
But then how tough would that be in film, you know, getting the finance is the key.
Right.
And he's obviously in the game now and his contacts.
After some of his paths that he's done, he's obviously decided that, you know, he has the opportunities now to do something else.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, and as I said, the script on this one is quite strong. It's, you know, it's not a traditional horror. It's got a bit more going on. It's kind of apocalyptic. You know, it could go in a few different directions, but it's always focused on the human drama and some wonderful performances as well.
So when's it set?
Well, sort of a modern kind of thing. It is a modern tale.
Right.
But it could be 10 years into the future.
Okay.
It could be 5 years into the future.
Right.
Or it could be an alternative reality to what we're living now. So,
all those details
are kind of kept under wraps a bit. So, which I kind of like. It keeps the mystery going. It's not sort of, you know, there's no spiel at the start of it saying this is what happened and this is how many
in
people
in the future yeah, where we'll be.
Yeah. So you're put straight into the human drama side of it, which I really appreciated. Mm. I probably could have used a few more answers towards the end of the film. It gets a bit obtuse.
I hate that if that doesn't give you all
the
answers.
Yeah, that's the thing. I didn't want all of the answers, but I don't know. I just wanted a little bit more from the ending. So it kind of dropped a bit.
Isn't that up to you, though, to go away and make it for yourself?
Well, in some ways, yeah. But I think it was very abrupt, actually, the ending on this one.
Okay.
So
the money. They ran out of money. Okay, cut it there.
Let's just, yeah, this is a good place to stop. We'll add it in later. But
yeah, the director's
for that. Exactly. Wait for DVD. But no, it was a good film.
Okay.
How
many stars?
3.5.
Oh, okay.
I was teetering between 3 or 3.5 because, as I said, it didn't really sell the ending to me. I was completely with it the whole way.
Yep.
Loved all the sort of nuances of the characters.
Acting?
And also,
how was it?
The acting was wonderful. And Joel Edgerton was you know, he is getting so much better as he goes through. Well, he's always been a good actor, but
he
really is. In this one, he is just completely believable. And he has this really hard task of kind of being this very cynical character because he, you know, for his survival and his family's survival, he has to be cynical of everyone that he runs into.
Right.
But at the same time, there is a bit of hope, I think, in his soul. Okay. And maybe that gets him a little bit of trouble as well.
Right.
So,
okay. 3.5.
There you go.
What's it called again?
It Comes at Night.
It Comes at Night. Brilliant.
But as I said, if you're looking for a traditional horror, this one's not quite it.
Right.
Yeah.
So what comes at night, can't you say?
Well, no, because that's kind of the whole thing behind it.
Right. And does it come at the end or do you know early in the
No,
end?
I'm not telling
you.
I'm not giving that away.
David, you have to go watch it.
Oh, I have to go and watch it.
Because we don't even know what the it is. And I'm still trying to work out the it a little bit as well. So, yes, it's a bit of a mystery. It's definitely heavy on the mystery. But one film that I also saw this week is, there is no mystery to this one. It's Spider-Man Homecoming. And this one has done very, very well so far.
It's like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it
like,
is.
I love the promo that they run where he comes back into his bedroom and his mate sitting on the bed and sees him undressed as Spider-Man, and it's really funny.
It is really funny. And you're right. It's there is a lot more of the comedy in this one.
And he's younger too, isn't he?
Well, yeah. He, I think he... is well, I don't know, actually. He is probably in high school.
Yeah.
I suppose the others were. No, he's a junior, actually.
Right.
But he interacts with a few of the seniors in his grade. So about the same age, I think, as the Tobey Maguire one when that started, the original same
Raimi. He never looked young, though, did he?
No, he didn't. But he was. I think he was playing around the same age in those
15, 16-year-old.
Yeah,
he didn't
around
look it, did he?
He didn't. Which I like the fact that I think the new gent in it.
And who's English? English,
Tom
lad.
Holland. Yep. I think he's only, I could be wrong, 21.
Right.
So he's still quite young, but obviously playing sort of 16, 17.
Yep.
But he's a perfect fit. He's kind of got that boyish look.
And they don't go back too much about being bitten by the spider
they
and all that.
They don't touch any of that, which is great, because I think we've seen the origin story.
I think we all know the story, apart from Neil. Neil didn't.
David, don't give it away.
But the thing is, it doesn't really need that. You know, you can kind of think about what's happened in the past. That's all covered. So this one is more of a, I don't know, I kind of like the fact that it's kind of a lot neater story, but a bit scrappy at the same time. So you're not weighed down on that kind of really strict origin story of he gets beaten and this that.
And what it's doing also is pulling into line, because isn't Iron Man part of it?
He is. Tony Stark pops up into it. So this is the first outing, solo outing for Spider-Man sort of in that Marvel universe. He was in the most recent, was it Captain America?
Oh, was he?
He was sort of introduced in that one, played a bit of a small role, and so there wasn't really, it was a tease.
Do they play the Michael Bublé song, Spider-Man?
I love that version of Spider-Man. In the titles, there is the original song done in a different way.
Okay.
So I like that. It's sort of, it's very tongue-in-cheek, very fun, and then you've got someone, the caliber of Michael Keaton as the big baddie.
I hear he's good.
He's wonderful in it, but I also like the fact that the baddie isn't, 100% rotten to the core. It's kind of, it's an interesting point, and I won't give away, how he's kind of set up, but I can say that, there's a bit more depth to it than you would normally get in a superhero film.
How many?
I got to give this one 4 stars.
Oh, 4 stars, people.
Yeah.
Yep.
It really is well made. Yep. And one of the litmus tests for me is, because I didn't know how long it was going in, and it turns out it was about 130 plus minutes. Okay. So we're talking over, well over 2 hours.
Yep.
And it really didn't feel that long. So that's always a good sign, especially with a superhero film.
Yep.
Because I feel, let's go back to the Transformers one recently.
Oh, come
that
on.
That was two and a half hours.
Don't give it any more time.
I've got to. Because you've got to compare the two in terms of running time the amount of entertainment they're able to squeeze in. And this one, was effortless to watch. The humour was great. The acting was great. Tom Holland is a great Spider-Man. So I really look forward, for the first time in a while, of seeing the sequel to this one. Because I think it will be, they can add to it. They can build
look,
to it.
Like Transformers, the sequel to King Arthur and the Round. Oh, when I heard that, I went, really? No.
We definitely don't want more of the Transformers. No. Not until Michael Bay gets out and gives someone else a chance to actually play around with it. But, numbers aren't everything, David. But the new Spider-Man is opening to $120 million in the US alone over this weekend. So it's done really well. And it's kind of heartening because they've actually made a really good movie and people are responding to that. So I think that's a bit of a good sign when it comes to superhero movies and just films in general. I think people are starting to sniff out the good ones and give them the
Hold
attention.
Hold on, Transformers was number one.
No,
it did.
Just this week. But it was like half nearly of what the previous one had earned.
Yep.
So
in
America anyway, Americans are finally getting sick of it, but it's highest ever rating, highest ever take in China. So it's kind of moving away from the American market and definitely more to an international
market.
That's
where the money is.
So it is where the money is, but yeah, hopefully the next Spider-Man will be just as good as Spider-Man Homecoming. Go check it out now in cinemas. You're on Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine.